Good morning. And the last part of that song, take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. I think that's something that we need to just let echo in our hearts and in our minds, because that's what God wants for us, is to meet him where he intends to reveal himself to us. In other words, as we follow the Lord and seek after the Lord and love the Lord, that we're attentive to the Lord and discovering what he wants to share with us, what he wants us to see in him. And so I love that. You know, take my hand now, lead me closer. The only way God's going to take our hand is if we willingly put our hand in his hand. And we trust him to lead us closer to him, and that we meet him where he wants us to meet him. What issues, what points, what things he wants us to know from him in our personal life. So praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for each one here this morning. And I do pray, Father, please, that you will do your work in and through your word, that you will bless each heart, that you will speak clearly the things that you would have us each to hear. Help us to meet you where you are leading us to focus our hearts and minds on you. And I pray, Father, please, that you will encourage and bless and build up and just allow us to walk away, gaining that extra encouragement and fuel that we need to be the witness that you would have us to be through the week. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now you know I have a lamp here. And, hopefully, okay, that's on. And it doesn't do much good down there under the table. You guys can't see it too well over there. And, of course, if I cover this up, we know all about that. You know, what's it say? You cover up a lamp. It's the wrong shape of cloth. I didn't check that out when I got it. So, you know, hard to get it somehow. But it's kind of silly to cover it up. And whether it's an ancient lamp in Israel or that they would use and they would put a clay pot over it, that doesn't make sense. You'd light the light and you cover up the clay pot. You know, they have a little clay pot and the flame comes out and then you put another clay pot over it to hide it. That doesn't make sense. Because we know that light's for a purpose, to bear light. So the light's on. And we know that it's accomplishing its work, but is it just the light that we're concerned about? I mean, what's the purpose of the light? It's to show us what God wants us to see. You know, of course, we've used the illustration in times past where, you know, if you're on a campground, it's 2:30 in the morning, you got to get up and go use the facilities. You take your flashlight with you so you can see where you're going, so you don't trip over the roots or rocks, or you see the path and all that stuff. But if you turn the light on and you don't pay attention to the roots, the rocks, or the path, you're just kind of, the light's on, but you're not paying attention to what the light is revealing, then you're really defeating the purpose of the light. And so when we know that Jesus has given us his light, but in that, we're to be looking like the song says, take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. What is it that you want me to learn? What is it you want me to see? What is it that you want me to understand that will be for my well-being, for my spiritual well-being, for my relationship with you, for the purposes and plans that you have for me? I found this dog tag. Can't see it. Sitting in our house, and I picked it up and looked at it and saw some writing on it, but I need the light because I can't read it here. I'm reading it here, and it says Integrity, Colossians 2:8. Well, the back's all scratched up, but in Colossians 2:8, it says, what? Got to get there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. How do we know the difference between the philosophy of the world and the ways of Christ? How do we know the things that God wants us to focus on and follow him and not the traditions of the world that we live in? It's by following him, being in his word, paying attention, letting his light, I think even more specifically, shine in our hearts enough that we can be willing to see what God wants us to see, that he wants to reveal to us in our life. God sometimes reveals things that we need to deal with that aren't pleasing with Him. But not going there. But what about God revealing insights about Himself to us? God manifests Himself to the righteous. So if our heart is, first of all, has received Christ as our Savior, and our heart is genuine with God, and we want to follow the Lord, then we need to pay attention to what the Lord is telling us. And so in that sense, when God is telling us something, the light, His light is going before us, and He's revealing some things, maybe some things that we might not have caught if we didn't use the light to read it. And so we need to understand that the light can shine a great revelation like the gospel to us, and someone that's lost comes to know Christ as their Savior. But also the light can show us things that maybe are not so obviously in front of us, but that are much more finer in detail, that requires a sensitivity and a focus on the Holy Spirit to counsel, to teach the understanding that God wants us to have. And let's face it, the only things that we know that are spiritual truth doesn't come from the world, it comes from the Lord. We can't know spiritual truth of our own thinking. We can't know spiritual truth because the world teaches that. We can only know spiritual truth because God, our Father in heaven, reveals it to us through the Holy Spirit. And so that's something for us to take in and to think, okay, as I follow the Lord, I'm in the light of Christ, I'm seeking Him, but as He reveals things to me, I need to be careful to watch for those little things. Watch for those little things. Sean was sharing in Sunday school this morning that he had his boots had kind of worn out, and he'd gotten some rocks, had walked on rocks at work, and it bruised the bottom of his feet. But it's kind of like he finally discovered by looking, my foot's a little swollen and bruised. So that's paying more close attention and identifying the issue and going, oh, that's what it is, and that's why. Okay. Well, that's how it works in our own Christian walk. If we're attentive enough to the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the things that He wants us to gain knowledge in and wisdom in and understanding in, He'll give it to us. But we have to be attentive to that. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. We're going to pick up from Luke chapter 8 and verse 16. But prior to that, we looked at the sower with the seed. And prior to that, the week before that, we looked at Jesus, you know, with His establishing, what's the word I'm looking for? Making it, what's it called when somebody, official? Making an official, these are my 12 apostles, okay? And then He went on into ministry, and then He said, now the ministry that you're called into is to share the gospel, that others will come to know Christ as their Savior. They hadn't quite got that yet, because Christ hadn't died yet. But He's preparing them and teaching them, and then as He goes, He teaches them about, well, what are you up against? You're up against people's hearts, and hearts are like soil, and soil is all different types of quality, from just stone to full of rocks, full of weeds, or good soil. And then not only thinking about that as far as the gospel, that we're presenting the gospel to the world with these various conditions of heart, some that are ready to receive truth and some that are just blocking them out, that there's a parallel to that, that in our own Christian walk, that we have an obligation or responsibility to guard our own individual hearts from getting hard or stony or distracted by the things of the world, and that we keep our heart right and in the proper condition to be receptive to the things that God has for us. Well, leading from that, after Jesus talks about the heart of people, what the disciples were up against, and how we're supposed to keep our heart as well, is that of Luke 8:16, that we are again to walk in light. Just look at this. Excuse me. It says in Luke 8:16, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. Well, a common Roman house would have an entryway that had a lamp in the entranceway to make for light for guests coming in. Other type of homes would just have one lamp in one room, and that was their house. And as you saw me with this lamp, I had it lit underneath the table, and some of you couldn't see it. I had it lit above the table. Well, you thought, well, that made more logical sense. And then I covered it up as well, and then I uncovered it and had it in front of me. But then I paid attention to the things that it was revealing. Even so, to say, oh, there's some writing on this, and I can read it now. It's legible to me because of the light. And that's what we're supposed to be thinking about. And so, again, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. What I love about that is that God is not hiding anymore. He's revealing everything. He's revealing truth. And he reveals himself to those who seek after him. And then, prophetically speaking, we know that everything will be revealed in all of before all mankind, where the truth is known to all people that ever have been, as we all stand before God. And so people will know the truth about Jesus and all that he is then as well. And then it goes on, it says, therefore, take heed. What's take heed mean? Pay attention, right? That's that the light's on, but I noticed this is on the table here. And, oh, I've noticed there's something on it that's written that I wonder what that is. And I read it, and I make a real effort to focus my vision on what's there. And it's the same thing. He's saying, take heed. Make the effort how you hear. We're to hear with spiritual ears. So many times people can fall into the trap of hearing the word week after week, or however they hear it on the radio or whatever, but it just goes in as information, but it doesn't go in with spiritual reception. You know what I'm saying? I've learned what's being taught, but the spiritual application is not being applied, and I'm not getting what really God wants me to get. And so we're to hear with spiritual ears. Oh, Lord, I see that now. Thank you for revealing that to me. That's so cool. I hadn't caught that before. Those type of things. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. So the more I read this and talks about the philosophy of the world, don't be drawn into the philosophy of the world, the tradition of the world, but the way, you know, the ways of men, but of God, paraphrasing that. But then as I learn that and I apply it, then I learn how to distinguish myself from the ways of the world and how to apply myself to the things of God. And God begins to unfold and unveil for me even more. And that's how our Christian walk should go, is that God continues to reveal himself to us as we intentionally seek after him and listen with spiritual ears. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And then it goes on and says, and whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Some people think they have the answers and know the right direction, but it's contrary to the way of God. So it may seem right to them, but if it's not in line with God's way, it's really the wrong answer, whether you're a lost person or a Christian. If we as Christians choose not to apply what the truth is of God's word to our life, and we decide that the philosophy of the world is better than what God's word has taught us, then we're only deceiving ourselves. We haven't really gained anything. And then on top of that, we're not going to grow because we're holding on to the things that God says not to hold on to. We're not holding on to him. We're holding on to things that are contrary to him. And so they miss out, and they end up losing not only what they think they have, they find out what they have at one point in their life, or even at the end of their life, they find out, hey, it wasn't what I thought. This was the wrong direction. But then they end up losing all the things that God intended for them to have. Sounds like a bunch of double talk, but do you understand what I'm saying? You think you've got the advantage when you realize in reality, hey, I was missing the boat. I'm not really doing what God wants me to. I was doing what I thought was the best way, but it was different than what God was telling me. And so we need to be careful about that. And so And whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him. So the first thing that we need to remember is that we are to be in his light to hear what he has to say to us. If we yield ourselves to the truth of God and we're willing to hear the spiritual ear, then that's the direction we should be going in following the Lord. If you've considered maybe receiving Christ as your Savior, you've heard it. That means God has shed his light on you. He's given you an understanding. You need to know the Lord as your Savior. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. I want to come in. That we've all went through that as believers, that God revealed something to us, and then we saw it, but then we have to respond to it, make a decision to obediently receive him or not. But then as we do that, then when we respond, then we're doing. And that's what Jesus is starting to explain here in the next part of Luke chapter 8. He says, look, you know, I want you to hear, but now I want you to do. And he goes into another section here, and it's in Luke 8:19. It says, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear, that's that spiritual ear, the word of God, and do it. Now, it's interesting. Jesus was not received in his own hometown of Nazareth. They didn't receive him. He left. He went to a neighboring town called Capernaum, which was one of the central hubs that he worked out of. And there he was doing his miracles and healing people and doing all sorts of wondrous things there. His brothers, who were half-brothers, came with his mother to see him. I'll talk to you about that just a little bit. But the fact is that his brothers didn't believe who he was at that time. Okay? Later they came to know the Lord. One after the resurrection. And he believed. I believe that was James. But when it says they came to see him, there's a passage in Luke 23:8. We don't need to turn there. But it talks about Herod wanted Jesus to come to him because he wanted to see the miracles. And one commentator was saying that Mary and his brothers came to see him, not as, you know, in English language, you go, hey, so-and-so's outside, they want to see you. What's that translate for us in English? They want to talk to you, right? But in this case, it wasn't that. It was necessarily. It was, they want to see what you're going to do next. Because if you go back into Mark, you'll find out in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, we're not going there either, that his own countrymen thought that Jesus had gone mad. That even that's Mark 3:21. And so here we have the possibility that his mother and his brothers are coming to rescue him because he's acting mad. Or they're coming to see the miracles because they want to see what else he's going to do. It's kind of interesting. But what was the intent of this passage of scripture here? Was that as far as his family was pulling the trump card of pedigree. I'm his mother. We're his brothers. We want to see him. Thinking that maybe getting license into him because the crowd was so big they couldn't see. And they weren't in that inner group with them. But Jesus has that strange answer, doesn't he? Strange answer. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Jesus was saying, physical family ties do not trump the relationship that I have with those who follow me. Whew. Wow. Now flip that around for a minute. We have our family here, and of course our physical families are more important than our Christian family, right? I mean, that's how we, let's be realistic about it. That's how we feel, right? I mean, if you were to say who's going to weigh up more and be, I'm going to sacrifice more for, it's going to be for our physical family, our kids, our spouse, or whatever, first before anyone else. But if we were in heaven, we would see that the physical family that we have here on earth is nothing compared to the reality of the family that we are in Christ then, even as we are now. God sees us more as family than we do. And that's important, that we as family are in Christ. And that's what Jesus is sharing here. He's saying, look, you know, my mother and my brothers are those who hear spiritual truth and do what they hear, because they want to be following the kingdom work of God. We're in it together. And that's what he's saying. What a powerful statement. And what a challenge for us. And so we hear two things here as he's establishing his ministry. Look, you know, you're going to go out and share the gospel. You're going to encounter different types of hearts from different people. You're going to encourage them by sharing the truth of the light and help them to follow what God is revealing to them, and you're going to do your best to know what God is revealing to you in truth. And then as you hear and you recognize and you see what God reveals to you in following him, then you're going to do it. You're going to hear and you're going to do. But I think one of the things that holds us back from doing what God might call us to do sometimes is simply fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of not having accomplishments, whatever, however fear is manifested. And again, you go back to Peter walking on water, and he saw the circumstances around him, and they were real, legitimate threats to his life. And when he looked at the real legitimate threats of life, he took his eyes off of Christ. But when his eyes were on Christ, the real threats became secondary, Christ being primary, and he walked on water. So when you and I are going through this life in this world, and we keep our eyes on God, and we do what he has us to do, and we rely on him, we're relying on his power above the odds. His power above the odds. That's when we see him revealed. And that's where the next section is that Jesus goes into in this passage. In Luke 8, verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." One part of me wants to say, I'm tired, I've been preaching, I've had all the people on the seashore, and I've been preaching, I'm done here, let's cross over to the other side. I think that's a viable possibility. That's it. We're done here, we're going to cross over. And so they get into this boat. And they launched out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. I don't know if you've ever had the calmness of laying down on a boat, and the water just kind of... and you just kind of soothed. It's a nice feeling. It's a nice feeling. He fell asleep. But also, if you've studied about the Sea of Galilee, it has these mountains around them, and the squalls of wind can come over the mountains very quickly and unexpectedly and turn the water and churn it up, and a storm could be right in front of you. And that's what happened. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water. In other words, the boat was filling up with water. And we're in jeopardy. That's the harsh reality. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Now, he was not only probably physically tired, but he was perfectly in control and at peace. He's on this boat. The boat's going down. He's in a storm, so you know it's not placid water. And he's out cold. They come running to him and say, "Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up," right? "Master, Master, Master, we're perishing." Then he arose And he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. From Jewish perspective, God has the control over nature. From our perspective, God is God and can do what he wants with nature. And so what was he doing? He was establishing with his disciples his authority over nature. And he calmed the winds and he calmed the storm, right? The wind and the raging water calmed down and they ceased and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" Other translations say, "Oh, ye little faith." It doesn't mean they didn't have faith. It just means that in the middle of the storm, hold on to your faith. And keep that faith intact. Keep your eyes on the Lord and trust him. But here's the clincher. Do we trust God enough to obey him? On the things that make logical sense, sure. But the things that don't make logical sense, there's a challenge. So Jesus is trying to tell the disciples in front of them, "Look, I've calmed the wind, I've calmed the waves, the threat is no more, I'm in control, I have authority, I am sovereign God. The scriptures point to what I'm doing as being identifying markers that I am God. So will you trust me?" See, as God reveals his light to us, and he starts to reveal things that he wants us to be thinking about. And then he challenges us to apply that to our life by doing. And then when the challenges are bigger and bigger, or more threatening and more threatening, whatever the circumstance is there, are we willing to trust God when the waves are really rough? Can God take care of what seems impossible? Yeah, of course he can. So hear with the spiritual ear, do with the heart that loves Jesus, and trust and obey God who has authority over all odds. That's what we need to remember as brothers and sisters in Christ. Trust God against the odds. And God will bring circumstances into your life and my life that are out of our control, that are against the odds, that God says, "Hold on by faith and trust me through this storm, and I will show you my authority, my power." And what's the end result going to be? We're going to have stronger faith, greater confidence. We're going to grow in him. He's going to get the glory, and we're going to be prepared that much more for what God wants to use us for his kingdom. So praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Thank you, Father, for your word and how you prepare our hearts, Father, through the scriptures, Father, to just identify the simple Christian 101 tactics. You know, we're to walk in the light, we're to do what you say, and we're to trust you and obey you because you have all authority and power in your hands, for you are God. So we praise you for that. Father, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision for you today that'd like to ask Jesus into their heart, I pray that you give them courage to come forward and let me know so I can pray with them and encourage them to receive Christ, or talk to me after church. If there's those that need to follow through with a baptism or want to become members of this church or have those prayer needs that they want prayer for, may they come forward for that as well. And Father, you know, it's the same thing I say every week. And it's not meant to be redundant, but truly as an invitation, Father, that hearts' needs will be met for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.